I got to say that when we're sitting in our church like this, week by week, it's easy to forget the beginnings. It's very easy to forget how it started, and that things do move on and things do change. And that's the message in a nutshell this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And I had plenty of time to think. When you drive across the Hay Plain, there's always time to think because it's pretty mindless. Just at 110 kilometres per hour, it's particularly mindless, but that's another issue for another day. So I had plenty of time to think. And I actually got thinking about prayer and about this message this morning, and I want to open with this question. You can find actually some of these thoughts in the Bible readings from this morning in the YouVersion events app. If you've got that on your phone, so you can follow what's going on. But I found a bit of history during the week, and I'll explain where this comes from and why, where this is headed. Is anybody here, a bit of a history buff, South Australia, ever heard of the Battle of Glen Osmond? Give me a little wave about the, I never heard this, the Battle of Glen Osmond. Anybody heard about it? No? Did you know there was a battle at Glen Osmond? It's like, really, Glen Osmond? You're kidding me, right? What about, does anybody know where the Mountain Hut is? Does anybody know where the Mountain Hut is? No, well, not at Mount Osmond, no. Come on, you people lived here for years. Where's the Mountain Hut? It's the famous Mountain Hut Hotel. Anyone know where it is? Oh, my gosh. Yes, Elizabeth. The dog and cat boarding kennel just below the Devil's Elbow. You go past it every day when you go down to Adelaide. The Mountain Hut, right? That's called the Mountain Hut. Just in, it's now a doggery, cattery, whatever that is. Well, you know that back in the 1800s, that was the first stop on the ascent up the mighty mountain range to Mount Barker or to Stirling or to Mount Lofty itself. And there's a story there of a guy who lived at Strathalbyn. He left Adelaide, and this is what got me, he left Adelaide at 5 p.m. with his bullock dray in February. So sun setting without daylight saving, it would have been sort of 8 o'clock-ish. So let's say 3 hours later, he pulled up at the Mountain Hut to sleep overnight on the way to Strathalbyn. 3 hour trek from Adelaide to what we consider just the bottom end of the freeway. And so you get an idea then the next morning is get up and continue the ascent up to what is now, or used to be, the Devil's Elbow. That road, the old road that we call that, that goes up around and does that switchback, that was built in the 50s. The bullock track actually doesn't quite do a U-turn at the Devil's Elbow. It went up the valley that you can look up through there and ascended. And they took the bullocks up the most steep bit they could to get over the steep bits as fast as they could. Anyway, I digress. The Battle of Glen Osmond, when the gold rush happened in Victoria, allegedly 120 Chinese gold diggers left Adelaide with a treasurer, so they probably already had a fair bit of gold, and they stopped for the night at the Mountain Hut. And the Mountain Hut owner, whose surname was Spearman, be interesting to know whether his relatives like to know about this, but he was eventually put in jail and transported to Tasmania because he used to steal money from his clients. So they'd come in for a drink and he'd get a bit sloshed and he'd take all their money and rob them. Or he'd hold them up the road with masks on. Honestly. This is Adelaide. This is only 150 years ago. It's like, really? And so anyway, these 120 Chinese got a bit upset when they found out their money got lost and there was a massive riot and a battle with the police, and people got, it says the police got their sabres out and a few people got injured and sliced up. I'm thinking, jeepers, it's a bit easier to get to Mount Barker than that today. And so it got me thinking, what has that got to do with prayer? And what I want to say to you this morning is prayer is actually basically the road building for our journey from here to there. So there's a couple of assumptions about prayer that are connected with that. One is you and I need to understand every day, every moment, every thing we do is a journey. Whether we determine a destination or not, we're actually heading somewhere this morning, whether we like it or not. We're actually heading to another chapter of our life. We're actually heading into another season of our life. And how we get there, to a large extent, is determined by the, as people who believe that God listens, is, in my view, is determined by how much effort and time and resource we put into praying. Jesus disappeared into strange places all the time as he went in his ministry time, 3 years or thereabouts. He found himself and demonstrated to us that he withdrew and prayed. He withdrew to a solitary. He was building the pathway to the cross. He was building the people that came to him. The stories we read in the scriptures are no accident. My thought this morning is those things were all, to some extent, put together by the prayer that Jesus had behind closed doors or in solitary places. And so I want to encourage you this morning that your prayer life, wherever it's at, it needs to be, let's just say, consistent. So over the years, the road, it was called the Great Eastern Road, which is no wonder the pub at Littlehampton is called the Great Eastern Hotel. It was on the Great Eastern Road to Melbourne. And that road was challenging. It was difficult, as there was. There's bandits. You stopped there, then you could stop at the Eagle on the Hill, and then you could stop at the Crafers Hotel. There were stops along the way. You could stop at the Allgate Hotel. Those pubs were all part and parcel of the way that you could survive the trek up into the Adelaide Hills. And by analogy, it never ceases to amaze me that we've changed over, even in my lifetime. When I was brought up at Allgate, the freeway that we now drive on didn't exist when I was a kid. And so the semi-trailers and trucks that go from Adelaide to Melbourne used to drive down through Crafers, down through Stirling, the main street, down into Allgate, and then back up the hill into Bridgewater, and then down Germantown Hill, it was called, the road down into Verdun. That was the main road to Melbourne. And so you can imagine, if you got stuck behind a heavy vehicle on that road, it was a slow trip to wherever you went. But at Allgate, there's a railway bridge across the main road, which semi-trailers can't all fit under. And so can you imagine at the Pine Avenue at Stirling was the beginning of the high vehicle detour. They went up Pine Avenue and down Milan Terrace to Sheringa Road at Allgate along. So these are little suburban streets. And you got these, they weren't B-doubles back then, thank goodness, but semi-trailers used to go through all that. And I'm thinking, man, that's just flipping hard work. Now we don't even see a semi-trailer. We do in Arndorf, but that's another story. And the point is that with prayer, our prayer life's meant to improve the roadway that we're actually tracking on towards wherever we're going. So little prayer, little prep, little amount of time with God equals the predecessor to the bullet track. It's like getting from Adelaide to Harndorf without prayer is like getting from Adelaide to Harndorf up the old trail. Like slow, tedious, there's unexpected problems that come out. You can get robbed. You can get robbed without prayer. I'm not saying that these things are solved and just magically disappear, but what I am saying is the journey from Adelaide to Harndorf now is a breeze because of a lot of money and a lot of investment of time and resource. And it got me thinking, do I see prayer like that? Am I as committed to converting my little bridle track, as it was called? That road was so deadly to start with that when you got to Mees Days Hill, which is just above Eagle on the Hill, they had to dismount and walk their horses up the ridge because it was like perilous to fall off. That's where it got the name, the bridle path. It was holding the horse's bridle, and I thought it was the other bridle, but it's not. It's the bridle with an L-E, not A-L. And so it was difficult, and I started thinking, that's how my prayer life, if my prayer life's got not a lot of substance to it, I'm going to find there's bumps in the road that I shouldn't have to go over. There's going to be obstacles in my path. There's dangers in my journey ahead that prayer will take care of. There are things that prayer and nothing else but prayer will go. I've noticed over the years, like, prayer is something that is such a gift from God. We have the ability to invoke and to communicate with and ask for the intervention of the supernatural creator of the universe to be present in or make changes in or be with us in, to comfort us in. His ability to be in is determined by our prayer life. And so I want to ask this, how is your prayer life? Is it possible that you're struggling up the side of the Mount Lofty Ranges on the old track? because prayer is just not happening. It's like, get the excavator out, get the dynamite out, get the work team together. Let's get on with this thing. Let's make a brand new freeway to our future. Now, we can look at that through the eyes of ourselves as individuals, but I'd want to encourage you that we as a church, some people say, well, do I need to come to the corporate prayer meeting? You surely do. Why? Because our church can end up going up a bridle path. Our church can end up on a bullock track. Our church can end up on the old twisty, turny road that's dangerous. Our whole church can end up going through seasons it didn't actually have in the heartbeat of God. He had no intention for us to go through as a group of people because we didn't understand the power of prayer. We didn't understand the power of coming together. We didn't understand the power of getting the work gang to work so that we can have a superhighway to the future. So Jesus was asked this question, well, Lord, in Matthew chapter 6, teach us how to pray. And so he puts a framework there. It's like going to trade school and learning how to handle the Cat 9 Caterpillar tractor. It's like learning how to actually manage the heavy building equipment required to carve a pathway for you and me to journey on to our future. And so I found myself thinking, oh, Lord, my prayer life's not what it could be. My prayer life's not as it should be. And I look back over my life and think there are bumps in the road. There are challenges that I know were more difficult to navigate than they were supposed to be, and principally because I hadn't prayed. Prayer is not this. There's something that happens on television shows particularly that really ticks me off, is when something goes wrong in the world and one of the mindless journalists on the media says something completely benign like this, we send our thoughts to them. Have you ever sent a thought to anybody? I've been married for nearly 40 years, and the Bible says that when a man gets married to a woman, the two become one. And there's obvious physical ramifications and outcomes of that. But you know what? I actually don't know what my wife thinks. And she sure as heck doesn't know what I think. Now, I can guess what she's thinking, and she's getting really good at guessing what I'm thinking, but it's only a guess. You know, there's some people who claim that they can read thoughts and read minds and so forth, but praying is not sending thoughts. When you're in a difficult situation, maybe you're grieving, like we've mentioned a couple of scenarios this morning, when one is hurting, knowing that I'm thinking about you might be a comfort. It might be something that's part of that sense of being loved and cared for. That's really important, and nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But thinking about you and then suggesting that I'm sending thoughts to you, that's the biggest load of crock I've ever heard. Compared to, I actually am praying for you. Now, praying has got an intermediary in the middle of it. He's called Jesus. He comes to us by his Spirit. So when we pray for another person, it used to be easily said, and some people on television presenters, some still do, say our thoughts and prayers, but I've noticed over the years the word prayer has just flicked because it's not a popular topic for people in a secular society. It's like it's no different than sending thoughts. Well, that's because you don't believe in a higher power. That's because you don't believe there's a God who actually listens to and understands our thoughts. So sending our thoughts to him might be okay. You could call that a prayer. But sending my thoughts to Mandy, what a stupid thought that is. Why, that's a nonsense. But if I said to Mandy in a situation, I say, Mandy, I'm praying for you, I'm immediately engaging her in a place of faith that it's not me, but I'm praying that God, say God. The God of the universe is going to be present with you. The God of the universe is going to manifest love, comfort, whatever it is that might be the need that, say, Mandy or whoever else we might be praying for needs at a particular point in time. For me, telling someone we're going to pray for them has got a whole lot more punch to it than saying, oh, I'm going to send my thoughts to you, Kelvin. Get ready. Are you getting anything there? It's pea soup coming your way. Because that is it's like no. But if I said, Kelvin, I see God putting his hand upon you, the power of the Holy Spirit just resting on you right now. There's like this, the presence of heaven just coming down, settling on you like a coat. And it's just beginning to warm you on the inside. It's like, Kelvin's not actually engaging with my thoughts. I'm using words to impart a prophetic prayer that's engaging him and his faith with God. That's not sending thoughts. That's prayer. And prayer is the most beautiful thing that we can engage in as Christians. So I want to encourage you in this month of August to get with the program. Don't say, oh, I don't need to pray. You're telling me you want to keep riding over the big bumps of life. No, let's get the heavy earth movement equipment of prayer out. So part of what we try to do this month is stir the pot with that corporately. And so we're having a 10-day prayer and fasting lead up to our next prayer night, which is Wednesday the 23rd of August. So do the sums. Pardon? 22nd, I beg your pardon. 22nd of August. And so we're starting on Tuesday the 13th. That'd be day one, where they have 10 days of prayer and fasting. So don't you be sending your thoughts to me. Okay, don't be sending your thoughts to anything. Start praying. Give God your thoughts. Give God your praise. Give God whatever. And we'll announce over the next week some specific things that we're praying about. Because there's no point just generally praying. I don't think. There's a sense in which prayer's got to have a destination. Don't let your prayer life be a Sunday afternoon drive. Let it be, I'm going from Adelaide, in my case, we just drove across the Hay Plain to Canberra /Queanbeyan/Thredbo/skiing/... Oh, it was nice. But I got to say, that trip, the road in my lifetime, I've been driving across the Hay Plain for, I'll try to work it out, over 40, probably 45 years, nearly 50 years. And in that time, it has gone from a very bumpy, narrow road with semi-trailers on it to a less bumpy, somewhat wider road with massive road trains on it. So the danger level's not really changed much. But it is possible, in my opinion, for it to be a road that could be driven on at a way higher speed than 110. It's like, now I'm not having a crack about speed limits and road safety, but my point is this. That everything, because of time and effort, because of commitment to improve safety, has actually given rise to that roadway that was once a bit like the one up the hill, just a track in the middle of nowhere. It's now a highway along which all kinds of goods and services travel. In fact, we just saw probably one in four trucks going across there were hay being transported from our neck of the woods to the farmers that are struggling with drought in New South Wales and Queensland. That's all possible to move at great speed, comparatively, with great volumes of it, road trains of hay. It's possible because the road's been improved. I'm wondering whether there's things in my life or in our lives or in your life that actually are not flowing at the capacity they could. What if God's wanting to get a whole bunch of resource to you to do something extraordinary for him, but the road on which he wants to deliver it requires it to be a 5-lane freeway, and you and I have gotten lazy in our prayer life, and he's just waiting for us to build the flipping freeway. We've got this 1-lane cattle track going over potholes and ruts, and he can't. He can't supply that massive outcome. This destination can't be put together because he can't get his resource through our crappy prayer pipeline. I don't know about you, but I want to lift the game. And so Jesus was asked, how do we pray then? So it's not just, oh, I'm going to pray about things. No, the prayer's about, this is how you should pray then. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's a sense in which that positions us to go, this is all about outside of me. This is about a focus on God who is holy. Don't ever forget that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So there are basically five things in that prayer. God is acknowledged, known in relationship, and honored in prayer. I love the fact that it's not, oh God. Jesus didn't say, I just pray to God. Pray to Yahweh. Pray to what? He said, our Father. Straight away, prayer is about relationship. It's not about a hit list. It's not about a shopping list. It's not about any list. It's about, I actually am in the arms of my Father in heaven. So he's known in relationship, and he is honored because he is holy. He's not just your mate. Like, what a friend we have in Jesus is a wonderful old hymn that talks about the sentiment of the closeness of Christ to us. But that's not meant to mean that we become mates. He's not my mate. He's my Lord and my Savior. And he is a good friend, but he's never going to be my mate. That doesn't work for me. I couldn't call Jesus my mate. I call him my Lord and my Savior. I hope you're getting what I'm saying there. Second thing in that prayer is God has a plan for his kingdom that is under construction on earth. That's the future. That's what prayer's about. It's like, what does God want us to actually be participating in building here in the C3 Church in Adelaide Hills? Is our prayer life, our corporate prayer life, up to the task? Are you committed to it up to the point where we go, man, I've got to get on the team that's praying. I've got to get to the corporate prayer meeting because God's got this huge mission for us to achieve. And if we don't pull our weight, we're never going to build the highway. We're never going to get everything that he had planned for us into the mix of our church, into the communities of the Adelaide Hills. He's got a plan for his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is asking us to pray like that. He goes on to say, so there's a future sense in prayer. So you've got to have a prayer focus about the future. He goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. He will supply our need and calls us to trust him for today. Don't get so lost in the future that we lose sight of the fact that we're trusting God for his provision today. You don't need to worry about whether you've got enough for tomorrow. Just trust God for today. And he promises, step us into what is today, tomorrow, but tomorrow is going to become today. And when it becomes today, God will supply our need. And then the next today. And so there's a sense in which the future is not so much about my kingdom. The prayer doesn't say, pray for your future, Bruce. Pray about your plans. Pray about your gifting. Pray about your calling. No, it says, pray about his kingdom come. That's the future focus of our prayer. The current focus of our prayer is to be thanking God for the supply of his abundance today. So there's a present sense in the prayer. And then the second part is, offers forgiveness to all. As we do it, we receive it. Forgiveness is about the past. Forgiveness is about what's already happened. So we can't go back and undo the events. We can't go back and undo the things we said, but we can actually pray for forgiveness. And we can learn through prayer to forgive people. What a beautiful gift that is that God's given us to set us free. Julie and I watched a relatively corny, but it was good in some respects, Christian movie on Netflix on Friday. Can't remember what it was called. It'll come to me in a minute. But it was about this family whose daughter was sent to college and she ended up in a biology class with a professor who was a outspoken and very opinionated evolutionist, and she was brought up in a Christian home believing the creation side of the story. And the point of the movie was to really highlight that a lot of things, and there was, in the end of the storyline, there's a debate between the professor and this girl's father, and it was embarrassing. There was a whole bunch of stuff attached to it that was a little bit, as I said, corny. But one of the things that the movie didn't attend to, in my view, that an evolutionary view of life can never attend to is this issue of the past and the power of forgiveness. It's the only religion on the planet is Christianity that has at its centre, not just in a peripheral kind of you could do this if you want, at its centre, forgiveness. At the core of being a Christian is the ethos of forgiveness. It's stamped on our hearts the moment we receive Christ. His forgiveness of our sin makes it an imperative that we become a forgiver of every offense. We become a forgiver of every wrongdoer. We just live out of the paradigm of forgiveness. And so when we're in Christ, Jesus is saying, again, saying that to you, just forgive. Well, that's not easy. In fact, for some of us, what's happened to us in the natural, it's impossible to forgive. That's where prayer comes in. God can actually help us to build the roadway to forgive a certain situation. In other words, we might be attempting what I've been attempting for 20 years to get to the point of letting go of an offense, letting go of an abuse, letting go of a disappointment, letting go of a problem in our life. And we just keep struggling with it. And we just keep hitting this wall that maybe, just maybe, praying about the pathway to there is the key. Lord, show me how to build a better road. Show me how to get rid of the boulders that are in the middle of this thing from me to that point over there, which is I've forgiven them completely. I've got no strings attached. That takes prayer. And especially if the offense or the offending or the difficulty that we're talking about is deep-seated or repeated or was at a point in life of when you were vulnerable or whatever and totally inappropriate. Like, I'm not suggesting for one moment that forgiving an incredible offense is easy, but I am saying that prayer, say prayer, prayer can put you on the road to victory. Prayer is the only thing. Sending thoughts to you won't help you. Sending little encouragement cards might help you if you love encouragement, but it may not. Wouldn't make any difference to me. It's like all those little, sending me some gifts, who could care less, but they don't do anything, but prayer will. If I got up here and said, I've got this problem that I want you to help me with, the best thing you say, I'm going to pray for you. And not just say you're going to pray for me and then not do it, but I'm going to pray for you and do it. I'm going to pray every day. We're going to pray for you. So forgiveness, past. So God's got, he's the God of the past, present and future, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's in that, and this prayer encapsulates that. And then the final thing in the Lord's Prayer is guidance to make good choices and stay out of the reach of the enemy. Guidance to make good choices. We need to make good choices. Anybody here ever made a bad choice? Yep, quite a few. Yes, I've made lots of bad choices. Well, God is in the business of restraining us. If we pray, he will restrain us from bad choices. And Jesus is saying, this is the way to pray. Lead me not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Temptation's got a lot of things I want to unpack this morning. So these foundational elements of prayer will determine the journey you or we will take into the future. As I said, there's an individual and corporate dimension to this analogy. I just wrote this thought down. Prayer constantly upgrades the roadway to our future. It's always resurfacing it. Fixing up the potholes. It's putting up new safety fences. It's improving the safety features. It might even be upgrading the vehicle that we're in. Notice that lots of motor accident statistics and so forth to do with speed limits and road conditions and danger on the roads, etc. There's a lot of stuff, in my view, is totally misrepresented. One of the biggest factors that's saving lives in this country. There's lots of things. I'm not saying it's one or the other. But one that's not really publicly talked about a lot is the fact that motor vehicles have had a lot of prayer put into them. Somebody, engineers, smart people, people committed to it, have been on a never-ending quest since vehicles were invented back in the late 19th century and early 20th century. They've been on a quest to improve their safety. Again, maybe that's an analogy for you. Are you on a quest to improve the safety of your tent, your temple of the Holy Spirit? Like, is prayer part of the routine of praying for good choices about what you eat and don't eat? Prayer about what you watch and don't watch? Prayer about what you read and don't read? Praying about just upgrading the airbags of your life? If you've got some safety features around your life, my life, that you pray about. Lord, help me to find good friends. Send me some airbags. I don't mean people who talk a lot. I'm talking about people that I can bounce off when I make a mistake that aren't going to hit me. They're not going to criticize me. I need airbags around my life. I need crumple zones. I need safe places to sit where I can just sit and be me and not have people stab me in the back or beat me up. Or have you got that? If you haven't got it, maybe it's because you haven't prayed about it. I'm telling you, prayer is the key. I'm telling you that prayer is awesome. Prayer is an amazing reality that changes your reality and mine. One of the things I love about the Bible, I just want to finish with this strange little thought and analogy. I encourage you to go back and read this yourself. I haven't picked up all these scriptures on YouVersion. But I got thinking about this message because I was on a journey driving. And I realized that Jesus' template for prayer is pretty straightforward in Matthew chapter 6. And I started thinking about journeys in the Bible and about, well, what's the chances? And I went back and found the story of the Exodus, looking at the story of Moses. And the whole book of Exodus could be looked at as having an overlay of the Lord's Prayer throughout it. Those five areas I mentioned that Jesus specifically talks about are all part of the narrative of the book of Exodus. Jesus was telling us to pray on a template that was put together by Moses as he led 600,000 people, men, so possibly 1.5 million people, out of captivity from Egypt to the land of Canaan. Jesus doesn't go into 40 years in the desert, but I am. If we don't pray, if we don't get into the face of God, I don't mean without honour, I mean get into his presence, we're going to walk around for 40 years. In my life, 40 years is a lot of time. I'm only 60. That's two-thirds of my life wasted running around in circles. I don't want to get down to the nitty-gritty of analogy here, but are you running around in circles this morning? Are there areas of your life that are unnecessarily bumpy because we either haven't been taught or we've never caught or never really understood the power of prayer? So I want you, if we can put that scripture up, Gav, is that Gav back there? Whoever's on deck? Aaron, sorry Aaron, I can't see because the lights. Can we put up that Matthew 6? 9-13 NIV scripture up. Because I want us to pray this prayer together. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? I want to encourage you to pick up a brand new baton of prayer during this month of August 2018. So why not pick up the template that Jesus taught his disciples first up? So we're just going to read this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Say it after me, yep. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That's the first sod being turned. What do you mean by that? I mean that's the start. Some road building project, no matter how big it is, started with one thing being dug up, blown up, moved, something or other. Let's commit ourselves today to turning the first sod on a brand new superhighway. Personally, in our prayer life, God, I want to build the road you want me to build. I want the pathway that you've intended for me to carry lots of goods and chattels into the future, not for me, but for other people. I want that supply to get on and be able to come down the road that you've built through my prayer. So we're going to say this again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, this is not in the Bible, but I love it because I was taught this years ago. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Now and forever. Amen. I don't know about you, but that puts a buzz in me. Nothing like praying according to the manual. It's a bit like driving according to the manual. It's like, anyway, we won't go there. Too much driving. You can see I had a lot of time to think. So whilst you're standing this morning, God does want you to be a thought conveyor. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, He puts in front of us a brand new way of doing life that includes two essential ingredients, and this is one of them. The other one is to read the Word of God. The Word of God, reading the Bible, is essential. 101 Christian discipline. Read your Bible. Well, don't understand it. We'll find some parts that you do understand. Just keep looking. If you keep opening up the page to the genealogy of Methuselah or somebody and it's like, I don't know what that's got to do with anything, just keep turning the pages till you read something that knocks you off your seat. Because I guarantee there's something in here that'll knock you off your seat. You just got to go looking for it. It's the same with prayer. Prayer might seem like, I've prayed and nothing's going on. Well, that is what it feels like when you're digging a hole. When you dig a hole, the first couple of shovel loads is like, how deep's this hole? I just had Nick Hill around building a retaining wall at my place and we're trying to, even with a drilling machine, it's like, oh, that hole's got to be at least maybe 1.5, nearly 2 meters deep. The tape measure in there is 900 millimeters. It's like, what the? Really? And you might feel like that about your prayer life. You think, man, I've been digging deep into God. But he might get the measuring tape and go, nah, it's only 900 mil deep, Bruce. You thought you were down 2 meters, right? Thought, sure, there, man, I've been giving it a bare shot. So they keep digging, man. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't stop now. You're only halfway down. You got to go another, you got another meter at least to go, buddy. And I go, God, you got me. That's me and my prayer life. I've given up halfway down the hole. Gotten too hard. Got busy. Got other things to do. So prayer is a beautiful gift that God's given you and me that lines us up, sets us up on the journey through life. And it may not remove all the boulders. It may not make the path in some senses a whole lot safer, because bad things happen to good people. But prayer doesn't just build the road, it builds the vehicle on the road. That's you. And so if there's robbers, if there's pestilence, if there's sickness, disease, if there's betrayal, if there's relational complexity, relationship breakdown, divorce, all of the things that are part of the human condition, prayer makes you, the vehicle, safe. Here we go, got through that. There we go, got through that. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a worse thing than doing life without Jesus Christ at the center, inspiring a prayer life. So if you're here this morning and you're a thought conveyor, in other words, your thoughts are the thing you send people, I want to encourage you to upgrade to the real deal called prayer. Become a follower of Christ and don't send thoughts to people, send prayers to God for people. Be a prayer because you trust Him. He wants you to know Him. He wants you and I to invite Him to take up residence in this temple. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's designed for that. And unless you've invited him in, he stays out. You've got to invite him in to your temple. That's how much he values. He calls you a temple. You're holy to him. And he wants you to invite him to come in and take up residence. If you've never prayed, and that's how we do it. We talk to God. We pray. First thing we learn to do when we come to Christ is to learn to pray. We say, Jesus, here I am. If you're real, come into my life. I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to give you a shot. Help me, Lord, whatever your need might be. Jesus is waiting for you to ask him in. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes this morning, if you haven't already. Let's just give people a little bit of private space in their thoughts. If you've never prayed to God and asked him to come into your life, we would love to help you pray a prayer this morning. Just like we did the Lord's Prayer a moment ago, where I said a statement and you repeated it, we can say a prayer that I'd make a statement and you repeat it, and we ask Jesus to come in. We confess our sin. We acknowledge that we are a sinner and that he has forgiven us. We believe he's the Son of God. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's really important to understand around that. But that may not be the case of understanding at the moment. That can happen later. But by faith, you invite Jesus in and say, Lord, I believe. If that's you this morning, you've never prayed a prayer like that, I'd love you to slip your hand and say, Bruce, that is me. And I don't want to be a thought sender anymore. I want to be a prayer and a follower of Jesus Christ. If that's you, give me a wave this morning, because I'd love to pray with you and help you start building the roadway to your future. In Jesus' mighty name, anyone at all. Father God, then we thank you and we bless you this morning. Be with us. Help us. Lord, we commit this month of focusing on prayer and as a church to being extraordinary. Help us to all navigate into the realm of prayer and fasting for 10 days, whatever that might look like. We'll talk about that some more next weekend. We just give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Beautiful Lord.